Just for a few brief moments tonight, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It may seem a strange Christmas text, but it is. Isaiah 1, verse 18. This may be the first reference, a prophecy of our Saviour in this wonderful book. The prophet describes the sins of the people, religious people, but it was religion without reality, feasts without fellowship, prayers without penitence. There was no reality. And in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We know God shall bless this reading of his own precious word. We pointed out a few weeks ago that there are many songs at Christmas, some of them not so good, others good, some nostalgic songs. I suppose if you were to ask people, one of the most famous, apart from maybe Jingle Bells, would be Bing Crosby. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones we used to have." Of course, in Northern Ireland, we don't really have very many white Christmases at all. Although I have had through my life, when especially when we lived in North America, with four Christmases worth probably 3 or 4 feet of snow all round the places where we were staying. And it brings back nostalgia. And, of course, some songs are not so Christ-orientated. That one certainly isn't. But it is a time for looking back. And we think of Christmases, and I think of white Christmases I've experienced, and the cold and the snow. But then I'm thinking back nostalgia. I'm thinking back to Christmases as a little boy and the different presents we used to get from grannies and aunts, uncles. Most of them, of course, died by now. I remember an uncle used to get us one of those little kits to make up model planes. That would keep you busy a few days and get glue all over your fingers. And have you ever had that when you're young? Yeah, all the wee model planes. But I do remember being young. I remember the men coming round the street with carts and a horse. And I know you didn't think I was that old, but some of you remember them too. And there's one man used to come round, Hearns, probably Herrings from Portavogie or somewhere, I don't know, but they sell them round the streets of Belfast on the Lisburn Road. And then there was a man used to come on a horse and cart, and he'd shout out, "Rags, any old rags?" And there's no one as the rag and bone man, but I never heard him shouting for bones. It was, "Rags, any old rags?" Many of you remember that. Well, they had it in Newton Ours too, the rag, and they'd shout, "Any old rags?" And you went out, and sometimes your mother would give you gather together a lot of cloths and old rags and so on, and you'd bring the rags out to the man on the cart, and he would look at them, and he'd put them in the back of the cart, and he'd give you a white cup free. That's where we got our cups from. They'd give you a white cup or a white plate, depending on how many rags you brought out. And that was before the days of charity shops. I don't remember them growing up, charity shops. And it was before the day of council amenity sites, where you could put the clothing into those containers. It was long before that day. And that's what I remember when I was a little boy. You don't see that today. Did you ever wonder where the rags went? No? You just thought, well, he must do something with them. Well, I know where the cotton and linen ones went. They went to paper mills. Paper mills. You know it's only in the last 200 years that paper has been made out of wood, cellulose. You know how many trees are cut down now for wood. That's only recent. Most paper was made out of rags. Or, if it was very expensive, they'd just get the linen or cotton. Linen or cotton. That's how they made paper. In fact, they still make it that way today. Expensive paper is made out of rags. And what the rag man would do would go down to the paper mill, and they would take all the cotton and linen rags, and they'd put them in one pile, and they would take away the woolen, because you can't make paper out of wool. I don't know where to tell you this is gruesome, but it will. Do you know in the Middle Ages it was against the law to bury a corpse with linen or cotton? It had to be with wool. because linen and cotton were precious to make paper with. That's how important this is. We just take paper for granted today. But there was expensive. Clothing was expensive. Linen and cotton was expensive. And so when it was worn out, you couldn't wear it anymore. There was still a price. Still valuable. And the rag man would bring it. And they would put it. Some of them are coloured. And they put them in a big vat. And they would put acid in it and other types of bleach and so on to try and get the colour out of it. If you're going to make white paper, you need the colour out of the rags. And so that's how they would make it. I was just looking today, you probably can't see this away at the back, but looking at different sheets of paper I have at home, can you see the difference? It's almost like the clothes advert where this was washed with Dawes and this one wasn't. They're supposed to be white, but I bought this paper and then there's this paper. One's whiter than the other. And to this day, they still make very expensive paper out of rags. And those of you here this morning will know money. Have you ever had your wife, and you left a fiver in your shirt or your pocket, and then you saw your wife wash and you went, oh no, I've left money in the pocket. Maybe some of you don't have any money, you never had that problem. And you went to the pocket and said, I wonder, is the money all dissolved now in the washing machine? And you put your hand, it's still all right. Do you know if you'd left a piece of that paper in your pocket in the washing machine, there'd probably be a soggy mat. Do you know why? Do you know what that fiver's made out of? Rags. To this day, the dollar bills and our currency is made out of old rags. It's made out of linen and cotton fiber. There's no wood cellulose. Because if you put water on ordinary paper that's made out of wood, it'll soon just become soggy. But there's a problem. You see, years ago when the rag man would bring rags, you know what they did with the red ones? No, we'll keep those over here separate. Because it's too difficult to get the colour out and to make white paper from red or crimson or scarlet. Because the colour is so deeply ingrained in it, you can't use it. Now, they can still use it in the pound, in the money. You see, not only is this made out of rags, they actually make, we can't see it with the naked eye, but people who look at it, they get the feel of money. It's made, they do put the red in and they put the blue in. And there's actually not white paper, there's actually different colours through it. If you look very closely, you can sometimes see it. And that's why it's so hard for forgers. Because they have to get the special paper that has the stripes of the red and so on in it. But the point I'm making is this, I want you to remember this, that the red was pushed to the side because it was so ingrained and it's so difficult to get the colour out. Now, you think of the text of Scripture that we're looking at in Isaiah 1 and 18. It says, the Lord says to you and I tonight, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What a transformation when you think of old rags thrown out on this good paper. And of course, some of this is wood in it as well. How can businessmen take old rags and make lovely white paper? You say, my, that sounds amazing. It's miraculous. But I want to tell you something more amazing tonight. God can take we sinners and make us white and pure before him, as William already said. That's a greater miracle. That's a far greater miracle. We who are deep dive sinners. And so when we think that many are singing at this time of year, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, we don't have to dream about a white Christmas tonight. I can tell you on the authority of God's word how you can be sure to have a white Christmas. What I mean is that before God, you're absolutely perfect. You say, but having the testimonies and what we've said already said that we're all sinners. That's right. But yet, before the court of heaven, we can be declared absolutely pure and white and holy. And that is why this is a Christmas text. Because this can only happen because God the Son took a human nature and a human body and was born in Bethlehem in order to go to the cross and become our righteousness. Three quick things in the text. There's the problem. There's the problem. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, that's our sins. The New Testament says all, that includes me and includes you, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Of course some people have sinned more than others. That's not the point that Paul makes. He said every one of us has sinned because we're born in sin and we have sinned. And all sin is totally unclean before God. And sin separates us from God. We're at enmity with God. And sin not only separates us, but the fact that it's referred to these colours means it stains us. It defiles us. Now, yes, the red speaks of the blood of Christ, but red in this verse speaks of how our sins are so deeply ingrained and you can't get rid of them. You ever seen those adverts for the different soap powders? And they tell you that they'll take and they'll squeeze, maybe it's oil or something, but sometimes they'll take tomato ketchup or some red colour so that on the white it looks so bad with the red against it. And the prophet is saying to the Israelites, and they knew that if they got blood on a garment or got it dirty, that it's so difficult to make it white again. Nearly impossible in their culture. And what the prophet is saying to these people who were so religious, he said, listen, in God's sight, do you not realize that in God's sight, you're like a garment that you can't make it white anymore. It's impossible. You're helpless. You're hopeless. In fact, over in Isaiah, later on in the book, you know what he said? All our righteousnesses. That's the very best things we do. You've just done, well, boy, I've been a good neighbour. I've done a good thing. And we ought to do those things. But we think, well, that's good. God will be pleased. Isaiah said, even the very best that any of us can do is just like a filthy rag in his sight. There's the problem. We're sinners. But thank God for the provision. The provision. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. The coming of the Saviour. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He will take and cleanse us. And there's a wonderful cleansing. It says, they shall, though they be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, it's wonderful to see snow falling. We only get it a few times in Northern Ireland, but when we lived in North America, my, you looked out and there was so many feet deep. And you know something wonderful, if you're not a good gardener, you don't like the garden, you see when you have 3 foot of snow, your garden looks as good as anybody else's. It looks pure, it looks clean, and there's something clean about the fresh snow. They talk about one lady and she thought her, I don't know if she used Dals or Ariel or Pearl or whatever, I don't know if they make all these today or not, but all these. And she thought her sheets were lovely and white until the snow came. So it wasn't as clean after all. Oh, the snow speaks of cleansing, of clean. David the psalmist, he knew that he was a sinner. And he cried out that the Lord would wash him whiter than snow. He cried, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And you think of the garment that's stained. And the point of this verse is Isaiah is saying to those people in that day that didn't have all the bleaches and so on would have today. He's saying, look, you're just like a crimson red stain and you can't get it out. It's impossible. But oh, your sins are like that. But I have a great message for you. There's one coming in the future, the Messiah. He'll be born of a virgin. He'll go to the cross. He'll suffer. He'll die. And because of what will do on the cross, you can be made white. What a wonderful, wonderful transformation you can have. And then there's a plea. There's a plea. You have it there. Verse 18. Come now. Now, we often urge people in the gospel to come today. Come today, because you don't know what a day will bring forth. Come now. Don't even wait a few hours. Come to Christ now, for none of us knows what will happen in the next minute, let alone the next hour, let alone the next day. Come now. But that's not actually the meaning of the verse. That's true. You ought to come now, but that's not what the verse means. It's the then of, it's a logical then, or the logical now, come now. In other words, you know, when you have arguments, remember in Mars and so on, algebra, we say, now such and such there, now this equals now. What it means is, because you're a sinner, because your sins are so deep dyed, there's nothing you can do to get the stain of that sin out. The only way you can be made whiter than the snow is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now come and talk it over with God. That's what it means. Because of that, now you need to come. So it's not so much the time element, it's the logic of it. And isn't that logical? We're sinners and can do nothing to cleanse ourselves. God has sent the gift of Christ, and He has done the work. Well, what's the logical reaction? And yet, people are not logical. Isn't that right? But so many say, no, we'll not bother coming. The logical thing is, and Rebecca quoted about the Apostle Paul, how he had committed his soul to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was the one who wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And when Paul realized that he was a sinner and Christ came to save, he did the logical thing. He called upon the Lord to save him. And the Lord gives a wonderful plea here, a wonderful invitation. Come now, come now. You whose garments are stained. Over in Isaiah 61 and 10, he says, you can have a robe of righteousness. Over in the book of Revelation, it says, who can stand before the holy God? And then in chapter 7, there's a great multitude which no man can number, who've made their robes white, have washed them in the blood of the Lamb. You can have purity white today. Will you come? Will you come? And when we think of Christmas time and the Saviour coming, I think just very quickly of a famous story of the great Rowland Hill. He was a nonconformist preacher. Some of you like to read church history may have heard about him. He was a character, Spurgeon. He died sort of in Spurgeon. Spurgeon was young, so it's way back then, early 1800s, late 1700s. But he was a character in London, Surrey Chapel. But he said, I'm the pastor of Surrey Chapel and of the fields and lanes. Because he used to do open-air preaching. And the famous story is that one day there was a crowd of people listening to him as he preached in the open air, and there were crowds and crowds, and a beautiful carriage came along. It was way back in those days before cars. And Lady Anne Erskine, she was nobility. It was her carriage with a coachman. And she wondered what the crowd was and asked, and they said, Rowland Hill is preaching. He said, oh, that wild man. I've heard about him. He's a character. I want to stop. And so she stopped her carriage at the edge of the crowd. And Rowland Hill was a real character. Do you know what he said? There's Lady Erskine. I'm going to auction her. Who will buy her? Who will buy Lady Erskine? How much will you give? World, what will you give for her soul? World, oh, you will give all the riches. You will give all the pleasures. You will give all the position for her soul. Ah, but it's not enough. The price isn't enough. It's not enough. Because you can't satisfy or save her. Satan, what will you bid for Lady Erskine? I'm the auctioneer. What will you bid? Oh, I will give her everything she wants in life. I will give her many pleasures. Ah, but Satan, you can't have her. You can't have her. You'll not be able to save her soul and give her a home in heaven. Then he said, I call the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's bidding. But he's not saying what I will give. He has already given. He's already given a price. Because he came into this world and he told the story of Calvary. He came into this world and he went all the way to the cross. And he shed his precious blood. And Lady Anne Erskine, he's calling for you and he's bidding for your soul. Now the decision is yours. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? And Lady Anne Erskine came to know Christ and lived a fine testimony for the Lord. Christ said in this verse, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The Christmas message is Christ came into the world and has done all that's needed for salvation. Now you have to come and trust him
as your Savior.